The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. April is Stoners and Mothers Month at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their What Time Is It? Hemp Oil Soap. Perfect for the stone bone in your life. Their 420 soap is available in two different fragrance choices, Nog Champa and Cannabis, for those days when you don't particularly care if you wash the smell off your hands. Only $6.50 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show. Show presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
The flight's been canceled.
Everything in the JFK is booked. No, wait, I have two seats into LaGuardia, but they're not together. It's boarding right now.
We'll take them.
We're not going to sit together?
Well, so what? It's not that long. You'll read.
Well, what about George? He's supposed to pick us up at Kennedy.
We'll call him.
There's no time.
No time? Is there time?
There's no time.
There's no time. All right, we'll call him from the plane.
I have one seat in first class and one in coach. The price is the same because your flight was canceled.
Oh. Well, I'll take the first class.
Jerry?
What?
Why should you get the first class?
Elaine, have you ever flown first class?
No.
All right, then. See, you don't know what you're missing. I've flown first class, Elaine. I can't go back to coach. I can't. I won't.
So here, coach.
Yeah, that's a point.
All right, fine. I don't care. The plane crashes. Everybody in first class is going to die anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll live.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, April 12, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza right there.
Hello.
Chez has been drinking so far today.
I have.
It's going
to
be
I got a glass of Jack Daniel's Sinatra next to me. I'm good. It's all good to go.
It's going
to
be a great show back.
I think so.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Or better yet, head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Click the link of the podcast page and get there too that way. And you can get free legal advice.
By the way, I'm going to assume that the stoner thing from Bubble Genius is because obviously 420 is coming up.
Yeah, 420.
Do you know that on 426 here in L.A., they are doing at the Ace Hotel Ballroom a screening of Aliens with Carrie Henn and Jeanette Goldstein. Because you know what 426 is? It's Alien Day.
It's Alien.
It's LV 426.
Oh, that's right. And that's the date. That's the date that those events take place.
That's the planet. LV 426 is the planet that they designate. That the aliens are found on. So
okay,
yes.
See, now I thought it was the date. I was just skimming through Facebook and I noticed there's an Aliens Day.
Yeah, LV 426. So they call it 426 is now the official, like, Aliens Day, Alien Day.
See, now I thought it was because the events in Aliens took place on that date in fictional 2016. Like, the movie took place in April 2016.
I don't know. Actually, that's a good question. I don't know. But
I don't know.
But yeah, no, it's because the planet designation is LV 426. So
I see. Okay.
Trivial knowledge for me.
Yeah,
trivial,
exactly.
Stupid knowledge about aliens.
All right. Well, clearly we're back from a week off. We missed two shows and an after party, and a lot of good stuff happened along the way.
And a lot of really bad stuff.
A lot of really bad stuff.
A lot of really, really stupid, pathetic stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna talk about... God, we're going to get into superdelegates today on the show. Fun. Exciting. Yeah. And we're also going to talk about, of course, and this is... You know what? I really resisted the urge to kick off the show with this. But we've got to talk about Cenk Uygur and his... You know, Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks and his meltdown at the American Airlines terminal at LAX. Was it LAX? Was it?
Yeah. It was LAX. Yeah.
God.
He was flying from LAX to Miami.
Yeah. So I mean, that's worthy of an entire show, as far as I'm concerned.
It kind of is. It sort of is.
It really is. I mean, I was really, really tempted to spend just like 45 minutes on the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah, we could have done like, day 27, hour 27, Cenk Uygur held hostage.
Right. Oh my God, his flight was 4 hours late.
Humanity, his flight was delayed for 4 hours.
God,
how did he ever survive that?
Yeah, really. I mean, how did he get through the ordeal of a 4-hour delay? Because no one ever has to endure that in an airport. The injustice of standing around for another 4 hours on air. Oh my God. So instead of acting like a civilized human being, this guy went bananas. I don't know if you've seen the video yet. It's at the Daily Banter. Tommy Christopher posted it. But it's funny about the way Tommy Christopher posted it, because he was like, poor Cenk.
Yeah, no, Tommy, it was funny to see sort of like Tommy and my take on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Tommy's apparently friends with Cenk. So it's like, you know, oh, poor guy. And meanwhile, like 2 days later, I just write, what a fucking asshole.
That's exactly right. Well, I mean, I felt the same way. Of course, I have serious biases and issues when it comes to Cenk, obviously going back to the whole Snowden business. I mean, honestly, I used to think of Cenk as sort of an e-friend. He used to have me on the Young Turks all the time. I was almost a regular guest on that show. And then the Snowden thing came down, and he decided to just go bananas on me in one of his shows without inviting me on to defend myself, which was weird because he had invited me on his show many, many times, and there were a few occasions where we disagreed. On this occasion, he just went bananas for like an hour. He and his entire panel just ripped me to shreds, and then it migrated its way into everything I do. I'm hearing about it. I was hearing about it on Facebook. I was hearing about it on Twitter. I was hearing about it in the comment sections, even like YouTube comments and things I was seeing. Then plus, of course, some trolls got into my Wikipedia page. Somehow I ended up with a Wikipedia page, and some trolls changed it to reflect all of Cenk's comments about my remarks regarding Snowden and Obama, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So since then, it's like, gloves are off. Sorry, Cenk, but that's it.
He's never said anything about me. I mean, I'm a nobody to him, which is fine.
Sure.
So I don't have a bias in terms of, you know, full disclosure, he said something negative about me. I just think he's a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that. You know, it's funny because I wrote what I wrote about his meltdown, and there are all of these people sort of responding via email or in the comments saying, you just don't like him because he loves Bernie Sanders. I'm thinking to myself,
no.
I haven't responded, but I'm thinking to myself, like, go through and look at what I wrote and look at the number of links I wrote to stuff that he did well before Bernie Sanders was a gleam in Cenk's eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This goes
back. You know,
back.
It's like, this is something that's gone back to when he quit MSNBC in a giant fucking baby huff. I was like, dude, you know what? Honestly, you should be grateful they gave you that opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're really unpolished. You're a screaming lunatic. And they brought you on as an interim host. And to pitch this raging fit like somehow you're entitled to a show at MSNBC, you're not entitled to jack, dude.
No, totally
so
not.
So my feelings about him go back not only to that, but before that, because I was writing about him even before he lost a show at MSNBC. I would say I'm like, I can't watch a show at MSNBC because I can't deal with when he gets all marbly mouthed and starts yelling at people.
Right. And that's the thing that I think we've both been hearing since this all went down the other day, which I guess it was happening on Sunday where he was on this flight to go to Miami.
Friday, actually.
Yeah. Right. It was a flight from LAX to Miami, an American Airlines flight. Okay. Well, I tell you what, before we get into it any further, I want to reserve the actual meat and potatoes of this thing for the last segment on the show. So we're just going to really dive in during our final segment on the show. And really, I've got two clips of audio in case you've missed the videos. Because what he was doing is not only disrupting all of the proceedings at the gate at American Airlines.
He's live streaming it. Basically.
Exactly. He was live streaming the whole goddamn thing. But thinking that it was going to endear people to him, like this was going to be, oh my God, look at Cenk. He's really a crusader for the people.
We feel so bad. We feel so bad that you're going through what millions of people go through. And you know what? They fucking suffer in silence.
Yeah. I mean, if I had been, okay, see, now we're getting into it and I just wanted to preview it. But suffice to say, if I had been, and we'll leave this as the teaser, if I had been with American Airlines at that point, I would have had Cenk incarcerated or something, or just like drawn, pulled aside and questioned somewhere to get him out of the group of people standing around who are already frustrated, because that crap is contagious. And once he starts shouting, and believe me, when you hear the audio, you'll hear him shouting like a mental patient.
Yeah, I was waiting. What I was waiting for was the, I was just waiting for it. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for. Don't you know who I am?
Right.
I'm on the Young Turks, which is a huge thing online that seriously most people still have never fucking heard of.
That's right. That's right. And that was the whole, that was the subtext of the whole thing. Don't you know? I'm Cenk Uygur. I have followers on YouTube.
Yes.
I have a popular podcast. And you're making me late for my red eye flight to Miami.
Right.
You dick.
Okay, so we're going to get deeply into it later in the show, but first we've got to talk about the election at this point, because it's getting more and more. I mean, I didn't think before the break that it could get any more ridiculous than it already is, and I'm talking about the Republican side, of course, but then specifically the Democratic side, where it's now just like a repeat of 8 years ago. It's a bunch of argle bargle. I like that word. Thanks. Thanks, Scalia.
Yeah,
over the superdelegates. Now, this started, I mean, and by the way, I've even heard from Bernie Sanders supporters who are like, you know what? Jeff Weaver's got to go. Jeff Weaver, the campaign manager of Bernie's campaign, it's got to go.
Right.
Because every time he opens his mouth, he sticks his foot into it. He says something ridiculous. Like he was, like today, for example. He said that Sanders is planning to contest the Democratic nomination at the convention in July.
That's a great idea.
Even if Hillary Clinton wins the nomination before that date. In other words, here's what he's planning to do. This is Jeff Weaver, and Bernie Sanders himself hasn't said anything along these lines. So I want to preface that by making sure that we know that it's Jeff Weaver, not Bernie Sanders. That said, all right, so if Hillary Clinton doesn't get pledge delegates that exceed 2383, that's the majority threshold for the number of delegates available in the Democratic primary. If Hillary Clinton surpasses that number using with both pledge delegates and superdelegates, but doesn't get there entirely on pledge delegates, then Bernie Sanders is going to contest at the convention. He's not going. He's not going to concede. He's going to take it all the way to the convention.
And there it is, dude. There it is. Yep. You know why? Because why not?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have anything to lose. He's not a Democrat. He doesn't have to worry about thwarting the Democratic Party. He is, I'm sorry, he's a spoiler.
Yeah.
You know, there was a word that was reserved for Ralph Nader back in the day. But, he's somebody who doesn't care about hurting the Democratic Party to the extent that it will help out the Republicans.
That's right.
He's doing the job of Republican strategists for them.
And exactly. And it was one of those things where, I mean, I wrote something that's been floating around Twitter lately. It's my initial Bernie Sanders for president article back in September of 2014, when Bernie was first thinking about running. I wrote a piece for the Daily Banter, and I was basically like, well, don't get your hopes up, because this is all about getting the message out, not necessarily about winning. And I think by and large, a considerable part of the Bernie Sanders campaign has been all about getting the message out, exactly as a lot of us predicted. And then it became a possibility that he could actually get the nomination. The polls started to change. Things started to move in his direction. Too little, too late. But suffice to say, they did. And so now they're in a place where, oh, this is actually winnable. We're going to now exploit the establishment that we've been ripping apart.
That's it, exactly.
Because in order to win, we have to do it. We have to play that game. And part of that game is the superdelegates. So what they're going to try to do somehow is, if Hillary Clinton doesn't have the adequate number of pledge delegates. Now, mind you, she can still secure the nomination with the pledge delegates and the superdelegates. She will probably exceed that threshold, the 2383 threshold, on just pledge delegates alone.
Right. And they're talking, and the Sanders people, by the way, are talking about going after pledged, going after superdelegates in states that they lost.
Oh, yeah, exactly. States that they lost, and they're also insisting that states that went to Bernie Sanders in the primary or caucus, that the superdelegates from those states
have to go with Bernie.
Have to go with Bernie.
Yep.
Even though there is no rule, nor is there a tradition for superdelegates to be linked somehow to the popular vote of that state.
And again, the idea that the thing that Bernie just doesn't seem to be getting is he's not a Democrat.
Yeah.
This is the reason why the superdelegates will not side with him.
Right.
He doesn't give a shit about the Democratic Party. He is not trying to work on lifting up down ballot candidates. He's somebody who is in it only for himself.
Yeah.
And because of that, the superdelegates want nothing to do with that.
And so, consequently, they're all siding with Hillary Clinton by a margin of 469 for Hillary Clinton to 31 for Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Now, and that's entirely, I mean, that, again, it's not necessarily to impugn Bernie Sanders as being a bad guy or something like that. It's basically like, all right, we're all Democrats. We're going to kind of select the Democrat. I mean, because this guy is sort of carpetbagging into the Democratic Party here temporarily. The Democrats are like, well, why should we support someone who does nothing but on a daily basis rip apart the establishment and hector people who are party leaders and so forth? Well, at least I should say his supporters are hectoring party leaders.
Oh, yeah. And you have his supporters who have created this quote unquote hit list.
Yeah.
And they're harassing superdelegates because obviously there's no better way to turn superdelegates over to Bernie than to just call them up and say, hey, you know, fuck you, fucking horrible person, vote for Bernie.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Which, and, by the way, I think that would make a really, really great bumper sticker. fuck you, horrible person, vote for Bernie.
I know. Maybe we can get that on a hat.
I'd like that.
That'd be a good idea.
Make America fuck you again.
That's right. That's right. But I mean,
so, I'm sorry, by the way, you're going to have so much to bleep.
Oh, I know. It's going to be a fun time bleeping this show. But it's our first show back after a break. So what the hell? You know, little known fact. I don't know if you're aware of this, Jez. Bernie Sanders is a superdelegate. And
what I'm trying to do is I'm contacting myself right now and I'm trying to get myself to sway my own vote from Hillary Clinton to myself, to Bernie Sanders. But I can't. Yeah. I don't know if I can do that. Because honestly, I'm kind of feeling like maybe as a superdelegate, I should vote for Hillary Clinton.
And incidentally, Philip Bump at the Washington Post did another study today of the superdelegate count and discovered that he just basically put together a graph where he said if the candidates get all the delegates, all the super, including the superdelegates in a particular state, basically like a winner take all sort of situation, including the superdelegates. Yeah. Hillary Clinton still leads on superdelegates.
Right.
260 to 138. And that's if Bernie Sanders and his supporters get their way. Now, if it's based on a proportional split of the popular vote in a particular state, then Hillary Clinton still wins 208 to 190 on superdelegates.
This is the thing that offends me. I mean, it's funny. That's a word I don't use lightly.
Yeah.
This is the thing that offends me, that they are, in spite of being so far behind the eight ball, that at this point it should be obvious that they cannot win. Yeah. And once she cleans up in New York, and she's going to clean up in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Once that happens, he's still not going to concede. He's still not going to step aside and be like, all right, you know what? It's time to rally around the nominee.
Yep, exactly.
And it's just infuriating to me.
It really is. And the Bernie supporters are really looking desperately for some sort of avenue to victory, and it's not happening. And instead, what they're doing is they're searching for weird, non-traditional, or even in some ways untoward ways of achieving that. And it's becoming more and more desperate and more flailing. And quite frankly, it's kind of embarrassing to watch them do this, because they're just dealing in myths now. Like the myth of superdelegates need to go with whatever, with the will of the people of their state.
Right. Yeah, when, I mean, this is insanity.
Yeah, it really, really is. All right, so we're going to take a quick break to talk about shaving razors, and we come back, we're going to continue talking about the election and, of course, North Carolina and how the Republicans keep obsessing about guys who might perv out in a bathroom. First, got to talk about the best shaving razors ever made. Terry's Razors. Now, here's something I've been doing, even through the break. I didn't grow my beard out like a lot of guys do. Take a vacation and they grow their beard for some reason. I kept shaving. And in order to get a totally smooth shave, I've been shaving downwards with my Harry's razor and then going over my beard once again upwards by shaving upwards. And that gets a clean, close shave that I wasn't able to get with traditional razors, because if I did it both ways, down and then up, I just, like, peel off big chunks of skin off my face. Not an attractive look. Make the switch right now to shaving products from Harry's.com. Harry started 3 years ago this month. They saw the insanity of blade prices, so they just bought a factory in Germany that's been making precision blades for over a century, and now the blades go right from that factory to your door with no middleman and no protective glass cases in the grocery store. That's how Harry's took the sting out of blades. Now, imagine getting the same great razors I use, three of those sweet five-blade cartridges, moisturizing shave cream, and more for just $15 with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits. Go to Harry's.com, enter the promo code BANC, that's B-A-N-D-C, it's for Bob and Chez, for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yeah, I'm trolling a little bit. What can I say? This is troll music is what this is. Okay, you know, I just have to throw this in. I hadn't planned to talk about this, but we discussed this in the context of Bill Clinton derping on something a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I just want to mention again, I think it's time to retire Bill Clinton from the stump. I'm just saying, maybe it's time that Bill Clinton either stick to the script or just not go and speak in front of people, because
it could be he's definitely reaching a point. You know what, actually, I really actually liked that he engaged the Black Lives Matter protesters, meaning I may not have loved everything he had to say about it, but I love that he really engaged.
Oh yeah,
like they argued and he gave them a chance to speak for like, what, it was like 8 minutes or something like that. I kind of have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, and the finger came out and everything. You know, he's always got that finger. He's always pointing that finger right at the cameras. Yeah.
Yes, that's the I did not die.
Yeah.
Not have sexual relations with that woman finger.
That's right. Now, speaking of perving out, the Republicans are completely obsessed with this fallacy that guys are dressing up like women and perving out in women's bathrooms. This is somehow a thing. Because of non-discrimination laws or no laws whatsoever regarding men's and women's bathrooms in public places, Republicans believe that transgender people are going into, like, I guess people who have transitioned from male to female are going into women's bathrooms and somehow perving out on women, or guys who aren't transgender pretending they are transgender to go in.
That's the big argument that they're using to sort of justify this, which is, you know, we're not worried about actual transgender people because, of course, they think transgender people are fucking sinners anyway.
That's right.
But the idea that, you know, what about criminals who pretend to be transgender and just go into these bathrooms and violate the privacy of women and little girls?
Well, and you know, we talk about voter ID all the time, right?
Yeah.
Voter ID laws based on the idea that there's rampant voter fraud out there. Like thousands of people are going around masquerading as someone they're not, or they're voting multiple times or using fake IDs and blah, blah, blah. And they're going in and they're defrauding the electoral system. Well, It's the same thing with these anti-transgender laws, these anti-LGBT laws, like the one that was passed in North Carolina this past week. And the fact of the matter is that exactly zero incidents in 17 states and 200 cities where transgender people aren't discriminated against, there are zero incidents in all of those right. states of guys dressing up like transgender people and walking into a women's bathroom and perving out on the women going to the bathroom in there. That it doesn't exist. It's a problem that doesn't exist. And yet they're passing all these laws. Why? Because it's the culture war and they want to discriminate against LGBT people. That's right. the whole point of it. There's no, they don't need a reason that is of substance or involves statistics. All they need to do is know that, oh, LGBT people, well, they're crazy and they're evil and they're pervs and they're going to ruin a decent society and they're going to...
There is that, yes.
Yeah, they're going to perv out on all of our women. And so that's the idea behind all these laws. And the law in North Carolina, Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act is what it's called, HB2. Requires transgender people to use public restrooms according to the biological sex on their birth certificate. Also bars local governments from passing ordinances like the one in Charlotte that is a non-discrimination order. So this is very similar to other states where the state government has superseded the local government. If local governments are passing non-discrimination laws, well, they just can't. The state government then overrules that. Which the irony being is that state governments routinely scream states' rights when the federal government supersedes the state government. See what I mean? But now the state governments, Republicans all, doing the exact same to the municipal governments and local governments. So, and that's what's happening in North Carolina. And of course, there are widespread boycotts happening as a result, even like the porn site X Hamster, which is evidently very popular. I've been to X Hamster, and X Hamster is not a great porn site. it's the X Hamster is all about? It's all about the amateur stuff, like the video phone.
There's nothing at all wrong with amateur porn. How dare you?
I mean, sometimes you just want a professional, don't you?
I guess. I don't know.
But yeah, so X Hamster.
I'm a big fan of real people. Yeah, I mean, terrifying as that can be sometimes.
Yeah. I'm not so sure. X Hamster seems just like a little bit too low budget for me. But suffice to say, X Hamster did the noble thing by saying, not that I've completely like smeared the X Hamster porn site. They are banning people in North Carolina from looking at their site until this law is repealed. Meanwhile, Governor McCrory is like in complete panic mode over the whole damn thing. He's issued this executive order that, you know, by itself is actually kind of surprising to see from a Republican, but it's all just, you know, based on water under the bridge. Unless this law can be rolled back, none of this is going to do any good. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory on Tuesday issued an executive order clarifying portions of a sweeping anti-gay law. The order also extended rights to certain state employees and sought legislative changes to the provision that impacts employment discrimination. Quote, after listening to people's feedback for the past several weeks of this, feedback, that's a good word for it.
Right.
Feedback is really euphemistic, I would say. I have come to the conclusion that there's a great deal of misinformation, misinterpretation, confusion, a lot of passion, and frankly, selective outrage and hypocrisy, especially against the great state of North Carolina. Based on this feedback, I'm taking action to affirm and improve the state's commitment to privacy and equality. Yeah, right. The state's really committed to that. Of course, you know, again, if he's just doing this now, where was that aforementioned privacy and equality? It doesn't exist. McCrory's executive order leaves the law unchanged, but he has expanded rights for state employees and asked for a change to a provision in the law unrelated to LGBT rights. Under the executive order, McCrory explained, the state's employment policy for state employees to cover sexual orientation and gender identity. He also requested legislation to reinstate the right to sue in state court for discrimination. A provision in the new law has eliminated the ability for private sector employees to sue over the workplace discrimination under state law on the basis of race, religion, color, national origin, age, sex, or handicap. The rest of McCrory's order affirms other aspects of the sweeping legislation that was rushed through the legislature in late March. According to the description of the order published by McCrory's office, the order, quote, maintains common sense, gender-specific restroom and locker room facilities in government buildings and schools, and affirms the private sector's right to establish its own restroom and locker room policies.
Right.
You know, again, why? I mean, that's really, that's the thing that gets lost in this entire conversation. Why are they doing this? Basically, what we're seeing in state after state, and it's not just North Carolina, of course. It's many, many, many red states. This is the death rattle in the far right portion of the culture war. This is the last that they've got to hang on to. This is the last that they can do. This is lashing out at the last minute to try to grab a hold of something to allow them to maintain the prior status quo in the face of the rising tide of, you know, equal rights. Un-effing believable. Meanwhile, there's a Tennessee Republican who sponsored a bathroom bill, a similar bathroom bill in his home state where Chez participated in panel.
That's
the
right.
State of Tennessee.
I did.
The sponsor of that particular bit of legislation, the bathroom bill, was caught sexually harassing 34 women and exiled from the Capitol building.
You dick!
House Speaker Beth Harwell had Durham's office moved across the street and limited his access to the House building after Attorney General Herbert Slattery issued a warning that declared Durham a continuing risk to unsuspecting women who are employed or by or interact with the legislature. Mm. So there you go. I mean, this is the sort of thing that happens across the board just about every damn day. And I think these laws might be a little misguided. What do you say?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think they're maybe focused on the wrong people. I mean, because there are a lot of Republicans. I mean, we see this almost every time we do a show. Some other Republican is doing something perverted or something that's hypocritical, some sort of behavior that's contradictory to that particular Republican's, shall we say, loyalty to family values. Mm-hmm. And we don't see any incidents, really, of people disguising themselves as transgendered women and then going into women's bathrooms and perving out on them. Zero chance of that.
Yeah.
Zero incidents. But there's lots of Jeremy Durhams out there. Lots of them. All right, we're going to take another break. And coming up in a bit, we're going to talk about this, dig back into this jank American Airlines nonsense right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Second half of today's show brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at bobseska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you in advance for that. Also, go to the Daily Banter right now as you're listening to the program, unless you're driving. If you're driving, God damn it, stop screwing around with your phone. But if you're not driving, go to the Daily Banter right now and like and share all of our crap on Facebook. And the operative word being share, the most important thing that you can do for the Daily Banter and all of us who write for the Daily Banter is to share on Facebook. Liking certainly always helps. Commenting always helps. But the most important thing on Facebook is it's all about the share button. So if you share our articles, then that means it spreads out to a wider audience and brings more traffic into thedailybanter.com. So thank you for that in advance. All right, so moving along here, more Republican shenanigans with regards to sexuality, with regards to punishing women. We talked before the break about Donald Trump accidentally revealing the truth with regard to punishing women who have illegal abortions, basically saying what most conservatives are either thinking about. Most anti-choice conservatives, they're either thinking about this or they hadn't really thought about it yet. They just, oh, I guess we need to do that too. When in fact we know that what they've been planning all along, especially with fetal personhood legislation, is that if fetuses are given full human rights, murdering a fetus, therefore, would then be homicide, right? It would be murder. It would be like, yeah, you kill a fetus, that's, you're murdering a human being, and therefore whoever's responsible for that and their accomplices would be sanctioned by the law for murder, right?
Yeah.
Now, they claim to say after that, well, no, we're not really into punishing women. We just, that was just Donald Trump. He was saying crazy stuff again. But in fact, what we know from the record is that Republicans are very, very interested in punishing women. And they've been doing that legislatively since Roe v. Wade, whatever it was, 45 years ago. And, you know, we've seen it with the different the transvaginal ultrasound laws, the waiting period laws, there's some abortion clinics have to be within a certain distance of a hospital, or doctors have to have admitting privileges at that hospital, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, making it next to impossible. And then, oh, of course, all the defunding legislation based on those ridiculous and fake videos. Well, there's a Missouri Republican who now wants a list of all of the women.
Yeah, that's insane. Completely insane.
This guy, Kurt Schaefer, he's the chairman of the Sanctity of Life Committee.
Oh, thank God.
In the Missouri State Senate. They
the idea
have
that the Missouri State Senate has a Sanctity of Life Committee. Jesus.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you want to talk about the cultural divide? There it is right there. The State Senate in Missouri has a Sanctity of Life Committee. All they do is they sit around holding hearings about how women are sluts. That's basically what that committee is.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Is based upon. Okay, today we're going to have a bunch of people testifying, and they're all going to describe to us various ways that all women are sluts, especially the ones who get pregnant and then have abortions. Slut, 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 slut. So they just call it the Slut Shaming Committee, yeah, in Missouri State Senate. So this guy's the chairman of that committee, Kurt Schaefer.
Chairman of the Slut Shaming Committee.
That's right. So what he wants to do is he wants to investigate, one, Planned Parenthood for the alleged harvesting and sale of fetus body parts, right? Even though we know that they're not really doing that. Planned Parenthood is absolutely not doing that. And we know that because numerous state investigations, upwards of at least a dozen state investigations, including Rick Scott in Florida, Greg Abbott in Texas, have determined that Planned Parenthood's not doing anything wrong. They're not doing anything wrong, one, and not anything illegal, two. You know who else determined that? The Missouri Attorney General determined this as well. But that's not good enough for Missouri's Kurt Schaefer, chairman of the Slut Shaming Committee in the
right
state.
Because it's this is something we've talked about before. It's never going to be good enough.
It's never.
It will never be good enough. Nothing will. They will keep fighting on this, and they will fight, and they will fight, and they will fight until they figure out a way to either overturn Roe v. Wade or circumvent Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. Now this guy, because you know the Republicans don't want to punish women. This guy wants Planned Parenthood to turn over a list of all the women in the state who have had legal, again, legal abortions at Planned Parenthood, at one of the Planned Parenthood facilities in Missouri. Of course, this is in direct violation of HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, which outlines strict guidelines for privacy in medical situations. And of course, there's Mary Kogut, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region and Southwest Missouri. James Miller, owner of the Brentwood-based Pathology Services, Inc., have been issued subpoenas and can face contempt proceedings as early as this week if they do not turn over these lists.
Insane. Fucking insane.
Lists of people. And the crazy thing is, unless there's some sort of closed door or confidentiality stamp placed on these lists of names, like, not that it really matters, that not that anything is truly confidential. The fact of the matter is that because they're being submitted to this, the state Senate, they become matters of public record. So now there's a public list, should this occur, of every woman who has had an abortion in Missouri. What could possibly go wrong in those circumstances? Jesus God. Meanwhile, the moderate Republican in the presidential race, John Kasich, thinks states should decide whether to punish women.
Yeah.
The moderate wouldn't come out and say, hey, you know what? No, bad idea. We need to really rethink our approach on these laws. The reasonable Republican should probably come up with a statement like that. But instead, he's like, he's kicking the can back to the states. Well, no, because as we all know, the states are really good at making choices like that, making decisions like that. As I, you know, as I keep going back to the famous Dennis Miller quote about how the states just can't pave roads. How are they supposed to manage education or elections or deciding whether or not women should be punished if they have an illegal abortion? And again, you know, just to reiterate something we talked about before the break, abortions are already illegal in many states. Yeah. At least past a certain threshold. In states like Indiana, good luck having any sort of legal abortion. So this is something that's already here, and we can only imagine that in the next, in the coming months and years, more and more Republicans are starting to look for ways to go directly at the women who have had abortions, whether right. legally or illegally. They're going to start becoming the target. And we're seeing the first warning sign happening in Missouri with Kurt Schaefer and his slut-shaming committee. And we're going to see it more and more often as time goes on by. All right. So finally, we're going to talk about something fun. This is actually the fun topic is the jank topic this week, which is not all that fun, but it's. Oh, good Lord. What happened there?
Sorry. My mic knocked over. My apologies.
Okay. We're going to take a break and talk about airports right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back to our Tuesday show. Thanks for hanging with us during our week off. Continuing to support us at patreon.com/Bob and Chez.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, so Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks, as we said at the top of the show, he's my favorite podcaster. He's my favoritest podcaster in the world. He's such a good guy, too, isn't he? So,
did you read the story that I wrote about?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
About the, I wrote about his, fucking airport meltdown.
Right.
But
right.
Did you read the thing that I wrote about when he would anchor for Current TV?
No.
All right. So somebody who I'm very, very good friends with, who I trust implicitly, told me this story about, and it's like, it sums up sort of what he's all about to me. Mm-hmm. Apparently, before he would do his newscast, like, you know, a couple minutes before, he would read a live tease. This is the most unremarkable thing in news. local anchors, your local anchors do that every single day. Where whatever whatever town, city you're living in, they do that every single day. It is the most mundane thing you can do in news, is to read a live tease, you know, a couple minutes before your show. Hey, coming up at, you know, coming up at 5, we've got this and this. Nothing at all spectacular or interesting about it.
Right.
They do it every single day. But apparently every day at Current, when he would do this live tease, as soon as he was done, the Current newsroom would erupt in applause.
Why is that? Because was it sarcastic applause, or was it?
As my friend said, technically it's not his fault that they did that, that they were f***ing a room full of sycophants, apparently.
Yeah.
But the idea that he never at any point said, no, come on, stop. No. You know, what I did was something that is just the most, again, the most mundane thing, the most basic part of my job.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't deserve applause for it. And she said, every single day it happened.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, how surreal was that? I asked her. She's like, oh, my God. She's like, having worked in a local newsroom, she's like, the most surreal thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She's like, I worked in places where that happened every day, and nobody paid any attention, because that's just part of putting on a newscast.
You know, and people ask me, what is it about Cenk that pisses you off so much? Besides just the personal thing, which there is a personal thing going on with me, and I'll be the first to admit that. It's not that I don't like what he does. I don't like how he does it. Right. And again, this is rewinding a few years back to the whole Snowden thing, which to me was a real watershed summer for the progressive movement. It really, to me, defined...
It pointed out who was who.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And for me, I was witnessing a lot of people who, up until that point, I had a lot of respect for. Some I was on the fence about, ambivalent about. I was ambivalent about Greenwald. And then I was, you know, my opinion was certainly vindicated after that, and swung heavily into what the hell is this guy all about. And then with Cenk, I was seeing time and time again him getting on his show and saying things that were provably false. I mean, I wrote an entire piece, which to me, you know, I don't usually ballyhoo my own articles by saying, well, this was pretty great, you go and read this. But I wrote something during that summer that I thought was a pretty good takedown of how digital journalism was functioning at that point in time. And then we're really going to get into these, because we have audio clips here to play and not much time left to do them. But the fact of the matter is that I was seeing digital journalism get bastardized. And it was basically, what happened was, is Cenk was repeating basically hearsay as fact. It was like he was at the end of a game of telephone, where the different stages of the game of telephone, you could go and easily look them up. But he was actually revealing information and basing his thesis in favor of Snowden and against the NSA and against the Obama administration based on information that really didn't exist. It was just made up. It started out in a place that was somewhat true and then became completely farcical by the time it got to Cenk's desk. And that's what pissed me off. So, okay, Cenk's at the airport on Friday. LAX. And there's a delay. It's in the middle of the night. There was a four-hour delay. Cenk starts to live stream himself on Facebook, which I guess you can do now. You can live stream on Facebook.
I guess so.
And it's basically Cenk acting like, first of all, he's acting like he's on his show. And this is a real life situation. I mean, this is where reality and what you do as a show begins to bleed together. And so
you're absolutely correct. He is behaving in public with civilians the way he would behave on his show.
That's right. So here, just without any further ado, this is Cenk standing at the gate, the counter that they have right at each gate. And there are a number of employees back there looking panicked, looking overworked, looking like they're confused in some cases. And then obviously a bunch of other passengers all standing around with Cenk just acting like a mental patient. Here's the audio of this.
Plane? Is there a plane? Is there a plane? Where's the plane? Where's the plane? Is there a plane? Where is it? Where's the plane?
Do you have a plane?
Where's the plane?
We are safe.
See, now this is that's Cenk yelling, "Where's the plane?" over and over again. And it's not going to stop. He said that, maybe a dozen times in the first 15
something
seconds
like
here.
Yeah.
He's going to keep saying it. And if I was one of these American Airlines employees, again, I would have had him hauled away because he's becoming.
And I'm the first one to say, by the way, I wrote about this. There's nothing more frustrating. Mm-hmm. It is frustrating. It sucks. It's terrible. Flying these days is horrible. It's a demeaning, frustrating, pissy experience.
Right.
But you have, you know, and admittedly, you know, you pay a lot of money and it's really unfair that they jack you around like mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
But your choice is to either accept that it happens and, you know, and take it up like, you know what, I don't want to do this. Let me have my money back and I'm going to go and I'll catch another flight or something like that. Or to scream at people.
Yes. There's a proper way to handle something that's
somebody,
frustrating.
As somebody who commented either on Facebook or commented on my piece said, Cenk must be the kind of guy who thinks that the more he hits the elevator button, the faster the elevator will get there for him.
Right. Right. Here's a little more of this.
Where's the plane?
By the way, I didn't start it over again. This is him continuing to shout, where's the plane?
No, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, no, but listen, if we just sit here and take it, they'd have us here until 6 in the morning, and then they'd f*** us even harder, okay? So I need to – you're a supervisor.
Trust me, as somebody who myself can be a real d*** sometimes and I have to control that, that I will tell you from experience, that gets you nowhere.
Oh, no. It gets you nowhere.
It gets you nowhere.
Nowhere.
It took me forever to finally realize, you know what? Yelling at people doesn't work.
I know. And yelling at people like this, like
yelling at people like a pompous, bloviating, you know, fucking bull in a china shop.
Yep, it's just, exactly
and it gets you nowhere.
Yep.
It doesn't help. The guy behind the counter has no idea what's going on.
Exactly, exactly. They can't just reach into the sky and grab a plane and stick it at the gate at the end of the jetway. They can't do that. So they don't know. They're just as confused as everyone else. They're trying to figure out.
Again, admittedly, totally unfair. F***ing wrong. Yeah. It is, because you know what? You're paying good money. You should have the plane there ready to go. I understand that totally.
Yep.
Completely.
Exactly. And I have been, and I'll tell a story on the Postmortem Show about my American airline experience. It's not fun. And it was, well, it was scary as hell is what it was. But the fact of the matter is that shouting at the people who work at American Airlines would have gotten me zero. Exactly zero. And you know what it got, Cenk? Exactly zero. Except for a whole lot of notoriety on Facebook and a couple of articles by Tommy Christopher. That's what it got him. And, you know, this is just the kind of behavior that not only underscores how not to behave in an airport, but just like how ridiculous and awful Cenk Uygur actually is. This just screams out, exactly as you said before, don't you know who I am? I am late for my flight to Miami, and I must get there now. Where's the plane? Where's the plane? Where's the plane? Where's the plane?
Right. There's very important Young Turks business to be done.
That's right. I have a podcast to do. Aren't you aware of podcasting? Oh, my God. Just a little bit more of this before I want to just, like, punch my computer screen.
Aren't you? Where's the plane?
Sorry, it's gone. I'm not going to answer your question.
No, I know, because I've been here for 4 hours. Don't give me this. Where's the plane? Where's the plane?
Let's keep it legal because this is legal.
That was him. That don't give me this. That was Cenk mocking the African-American woman who did that sort of talk to the hand kind of gesture.
Yes.
Again, I don't know.
It's behaving like a baby.
It's behaving like a baby. And, you know, I questioned on Twitter, and of course, this is all alleged. I don't know for sure. But he sounds like he's drunk. He sounds like he's been drinking too much and just went bananas.
Well, here's the thing. I would say I'm not going to take that tack. I'm not going to say that he's been drinking.
Well, I'm just saying that he
honestly,
sounds like
he's a marble mouth piece of shit normally. So for all I know, like normally I would listen to someone who speaks like him, who's got fucking the marbles in his mouth, and I would think that he's drunk. But honestly, it's just Cenk. It's just Cenk being just Cenk.
Yeah, exactly. And again, he's trying to make a case like he would on the Young Turks. It's like, all right, now here's what Obama should have done. Obama should have come out for single payer, and then he would have gotten...
Exactly.
You know, just like... No, you know what?
Vote for Bernie.
Exactly. This is not, you're not making a political argument here. Shouting at American Airlines employees will get you nowhere. You can certainly register your disgust, and I have certainly been there myself, and I have registered my disgust with airline workers in the past. But you do not, act like a crazy person and then get all bent out of shape and butthurt when you're treated like a crazy person. And he was treated like,
when they say, we're not going to put you on this flight.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
What we really want is to quote the Avengers. Yeah, you know, we really want to put a guy with the kind of anger issues he has inside a metal tube at like 30,000 feet. <That's>
right. Exactly. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We ran plumb out of time. We're going to continue talking about Cenk and his airline fiasco during the post-mortem show, and I'll tell my harrowing American Airlines story in the same segment. So if you want to hear the post-mortem show, go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Sign up at the $5 level and you'll get the post-mortem show. It's like a little extra mini show laden with profanity, of course, that we do right after the free show. And that's for $5 a month. If you sign up at $10 a month, you get the post-mortem show and you get the after party, which is our not safe for work end of the week extravaganza. And if you sign up at $15 a month, you get both of those goddamn things. Plus, you get a commercial-free, not-safe-for-work version of this show that you've just heard. So no bleeps, no commercials, no nothing. All that for $15. You can't beat it. Go to bobsesca.com, click the Patreon link at the top of the page, or just go to patreon.com/bobandchess. All right, so in addition to that, we'll see if we can talk about these other things. I don't know. Are we going to talk about Sarah Palin? Probably not, but okay. You never know. Plus, possible Trump nominees of Trump VP nominees, as if he's going to be the nominee himself.
Shakes the clown.
I think they're going to say Cenk Uygur.
Yeah, Trump shakes 2016.
By the way, you noticed in the Cenk videos that we've confirmed the pronunciation of his first name. I've always said Cenk, like with a J, and that's exactly. Yeah. Yes. I've been right all along.
That's correct. Yes.
Cenk, not Cenk or Sank or
whatever.
Cenk. Okay. Plus some other Trump news, and oh my God, there's a Christian author who says female masturbation is a direct path to Satan. So I got more. More grown-up...
Take me there. Put me on that path.
More grown-up Americans who believe in
the devil. Yes.
That's right.
The most delicious path to Satan I can think of.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
That's right. That's coming up next on the Post-Mortem Show. See you over there. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.